The parents of the Indian student murdered in Salford on Boxing Day visited the scene where their son was killed. Anuj Bidvey was shot in the head as he walked with friends. His family are due to return to India soon with his body. Speaking at the point where flowers and tributes have been left, his father Subhash said they're all shattered.
This has been an exceedingly difficult journey to make. When Anuj left India in September last year, he was full of hope and ambition for the future. We were also very proud of him.
Olympic organisers have had to shut down their website after tens of thousands logged on, desperately trying to get their hands on tickets. The website opened for the public this morning to sell back tickets they didn't want. Jamaica is threatening to ditch the Queen as head of state. New Prime Minister Portia Simpson Miller says the Queen is a wise and wonderful lady, but the time had come for a change. Prince Harry's due to travel there as part of the Diamond Jubilee celebrations. Our royal correspondent Paul Harrison has spoken to both Clarence House and St James's Palace for their reaction.
They say we're working closely with the Jamaican authorities ahead of Prince Harry's representing the Queen in Jamaica later this spring. The matter of the Jamaican head of state is entirely a matter for the Jamaican government and people. So we'll wait to see.
There's another blow to hopes that the pensions dispute could soon be over. Teachers' leaders have refused to sign up to the government's final offer. In football, Arsenal's all-time top goalscorer Thierry Henry has rejoined the club on a two-month loan. And Bob Holness, the man who famously hosted the quiz Blockbusters, has died. He was 83 years old. His family say he died peacefully in his sleep this morning. That's the latest. I'm Richard Suchet.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
FM Travel News with the hair company Crown Street, Brentwood.
The Ongar Road in Brentwood is busy, but moving southbound at the A1023 High Street Junction. And there's one lane closed on the A127 South End Arterial Road in South End Arterial Road East in South End on Sea between the Bell House Road Junction and the Kent Elms Corner. Works. Narrow lanes at a speed restriction of 50 miles per hour on the M25 in both directions between junction 29 and 30. And major road works on the A130 Sadler's Farm roundabout in South Benfleet at the A13 junction. Also, trains are not stopping on the district line westbound at Victoria due to flooding, and they're also not stopping on the Circle line at Victoria for the same reason.
If you have news of the queues, 01277 849931. Phoenix FM Travel with the hair company Crown Street Brentwood, creating style with a smile. Book your appointment on 01277 222864.
You're listening to Gabby on Drive here on Phoenix 98 FM. I hope you're having a lovely Friday. It is Friday the 6th of January and it's got a bit chilly out there again, hasn't it? Now, don't forget, as promised, I will be joined in the studio at about 3.15. He is in the studio already, but I will be speaking to him at about 3.15. That's Grant Mayton. As I've been telling you, he is from the Essex Wildlife Trust and he's here to speak today about how corporate schemes and businesses can help benefit the wildlife of Essex.
I want to talk to you.
The last time we talked, Mr. Smith, you reduced me to tears. I promise you it won't happen again.
Do I attract you? Do I repulse you with my queasy smile? Am I too dirty? Am I too flirty? Do I like what you like? I could be wholesome, I could be loathsome, guess I'm a little bit shy. Why don't you like me? Why don't you like me without making me try? I try to be like Grace Kelly, but all the looks were too sad. So I tried a little Freddy. I've got an entity. Him.
radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM. What is a CVS? A Council for Voluntary Service is a local voluntary organisation formed and run by local voluntary groups to promote and develop the effectiveness of voluntary action. CVS promote the effectiveness of local groups and organisations by providing support services such as information, advice and training. CVS acts as a representative body for the views and needs of the voluntary sector and supports the development of a clear partnership and complementary working relationships between the voluntary sector, volunteers and statutory agencies. CVS maintains a resource centre which is staffed and equipped. For more information, call 01277 222299.
Phoenix FM Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, tyre and wheel alignment specialists.
On Thursday the 19th of January at 7:45pm, the theatrical costumer is going to be a talk by Anne Harty and it's presented by the Brentwood Museum Society. It will be held as usual at the Gwendolyn Lewis Room of the Shenfield Parish Hall, Hutton Road of Shenfield, and it's just £3 to go along. If you need to know more about the talk or the venue, you can call 01277 212 142 or have a look at our website, allthews.phoenixfm.com/local events.
Phoenix FM Events Guide, in association with Skidmarks, Prospect Way, Hutton. Your specialists for tyre and wheel alignment. Telephone Brentwood 210 414.
And I'm now going to play you some Chris Farlow, Out of Time. And then after that, I will be speaking to Grant Mayton from the Essex Wildlife Trust.
What's going on? You've been away for far too long. You can't come back. I think you are still mad. You're out of touch, my baby. My poor fashion babe. I said, baby, 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 you're out of time. Your social world. You can't come back, be the first in line.
Baby, baby, you're out.
You're listening to Gabby on Drive here on Phoenix 98 FM. And as promised, I am joined in the studio by Grant Mason. Hello, Grant. How are you today?
Hello, Gabby. I'm fine, thank you.
That's wonderful. Your microphone's working. Mine's working. All is
good.
Well. Now, you are from the Essex Wildlife Trust.
I am indeed.
Shall I ask you all about badgers?
Well, we were talking about that earlier. We might have to take that off message.
Because you get asked a lot about badgers.
I get asked a lot about badgers.
That's what Grant. That's what Grant would say to me. Now, tell me what side of the Essex Wildlife Trust is quite a big establishment.
Yes,
you know, it's made up of a lot of different people.
Yep.
So, what side of it are you involved with? What is your? Why do they employ you?
Well, I joined the trust 6 years ago, and they've had a corporate membership scheme going for the last 20 years, and we have a diverse support from the business community that we've built up over the last 20 years, and they range from large Essex-based organisations to small one-man bands, and they join Essex Wildlife Trust to support the work we do with our conservation across the county of Essex for all sorts of different reasons, and I'll quite happily elaborate as we go along some of the ways and in which they can get involved with us. But basically, what I do is I go out there and look after them. So for whatever reason they've joined the trust, I make sure that they're happy and they continue with their membership for years to come. And we've just celebrated last year in 2011, about a dozen companies celebrated their 20th anniversary with us. So they've been with us for 20 years, and that partnership has worked absolutely splendidly over those years.
Wonderful. Okay. So people can get involved with the Essex Wildlife Trust, be it small and large. You even said one man bands.
Yep.
I was quite surprised. So in what different ways can they help the Essex Wildlife Trust?
Well, I suppose the two extremes are that we get people who join Essex Wildlife Trust in the business community who are absolutely passionate about wildlife conservation. They've lived in the county most of their lives. Some of them are second, third generation businesses where, you know, Essex is their home county, so to speak. And those people, the way they get involved with the trust is very much hands-on. They'll visit our visitor centres, they'll come and do volunteering work for us, and they'll know about wildlife, so when we talk about wildlife, they'll already have a knowledge about wildlife. So they are our natural sort of supporters and people that actually a lot of the time when we talk to them about the business benefits that they could have, they're not so interested in those benefits, but over time we get them used to the business benefits. So they're the people passionately interested in wildlife. The other extreme is that we talk to many businesses on industrial estates or in offices who never look out the window, and or their industrial estate doesn't have any trees or green and open spaces, and they've never really touched wildlife before, or they've never really seen it. They might have seen it a little bit where they walk their dogs, but we open their eyes to that, and they tend to join from the point of view of using the business benefits in terms of the corporate directory and having the contact details of the other 450 businesses, so therefore, you know, they can market themselves to those businesses and be maybe a supplier, so they get some business benefits, or they might use the corporate member's logo on their website or their stationery just to enhance their environmental credentials. And then in between we get people, businesses who use both of those benefits, and I suppose it's my job to get the wildlife people using the business benefits and the people who are business orientated to learn about wildlife.
Yeah, because a lot of there are, I suppose, a lot of business orientated people that probably aren't that, you know, they don't really see enough of it.
No.
Perhaps to be passionate about it, and they might not live in the countryside.
Exactly.
So it's kind of about educating them, and as I was saying earlier on my drive show, you know, the if we don't have wildlife, if we don't have nature all around us, I know it seems like urbanisation globalization is kind of taking over the world, but the world would never ever be here if every single part of it was concrete. It just won't survive. And if we're going to survive, and even if we're going to flourish in our businesses, if we're going to stay as you know, well as we want to, if we want to stay able to work, because you need a certain level of health to be able to work, then we've really got to respect the wildlife.
Absolutely. Most of us go outside anyway, in the sense that, you know, we'll walk our dogs or we'll go for a walk with the family, we'll go out with the kids and everything, but we won't necessarily always see the wildlife side of it. We'll take for granted the open spaces, the parks and things like that. Obviously, what we try and do is show people the wildlife, the biodiversity, the range of species that sometimes we take for granted. And also, even on industrial estates, I mean, I've seen some fantastic sites on industrial estates where they've said, oh, well, there's no wildlife around here. And I've seen like a peregrine falcon perched on the side of a liquid gas container on Canvey Island, for instance. And, you know, when you go around industrial estates at night, I mean, there's lots of, getting back to our friend the badger, there are badgers and there are foxes and there are all sorts of things wandering around those industrial estates once everybody's gone home. Bats flying amongst the sort of the industrial buildings, some of the sites where they've gone maybe a little bit derelict. It's amazing how quickly wildlife can move in. And I've shown people who have industrial sites where they can, yeah, just put in some window boxes or hang up some bird feeders outside their offices. And it's amazing how once you start to do that, how you can attract wildlife even into a very concrete urban environment. And of course people feel good about that, you know, if they're having their lunch hour and they're looking outside and they can see all the birds on their bird feeders, it makes people feel good. And obviously if you feel good, then you're going to be better at your job, really. More relaxed,
you're going to be better at work.
Absolutely.
I always make sure if I am working from home, I always make sure I've got all of as much light, natural light, I mean, as much natural light in as possible. Opening all of the blinds, you know, all of the curtains nice and wide. If it's warm enough, I'll have the window open, but it's not always warm enough for me. So tell me something else. Do you help educate businesses, be it small or large? Do you help provide education on how they can be kinder to the environment, so how they can be kinder to the wildlife?
Yeah, it's not all about just... I would say the depth of our business members are such that we now sort of help our corporate members. So, for instance, if they were looking at their energy procurement, you know, they wanted to be more energy efficient.
Yeah, I'm talking about stuff like that.
You know, we've got other companies who will come in and do, corporate members who will do energy audits, for instance, and make companies more resource efficient. We've got companies who are corporate members who are install solar panels, for instance.
Yeah.
We've got companies that are green stationery companies that provide stationery, but most of it being from recycled products, etc. We've got companies that will help you if you're looking at the paper you put in your printers, for instance, you know, getting it from a sustainable source, getting it so that the trees that are chopped down to produce that paper are sustainable and not sort of from abroad or from somewhere where it doesn't work. We've got innovative companies that are looking at producing heat for buildings but from underground.
Right.
Now, so we've got companies that supply those products who are corporate members, and obviously what they want to do is talk to other corporate members who are thinking about installing those products.
Yeah.
So the idea is that we've got a vibrant sort of business community within the Essex Wildlife Trust corporate membership to do business to business and help each other out.
So would you say there's a networking side?
It is. It's kind of a business network.
But it's a business networking kind of establishment that have all got something in common, rather than just having business in common. What I mean by business, I mean rather than just both wanting to earn money out of something, you want to earn money the same as any kind of networking group and be able to make referrals, but you have a common interest. You care about the environment. You care about the wildlife. Would
yes.
you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have degrees of that in the sense that some of our companies have been walking sort of the green agenda, the environmental, the sustainability agenda sort of for the last 15, 20 years before it was, say, fashionable to use a word. And then we've got other companies that have just started making that journey to make their businesses more sustainable, more resource efficient, and look at their impact on the environment. Well, obviously, the ones that have already walked that walk can help those other businesses. But yes, there is an element of, you know, we all have to, you know, and we recognise this, all the businesses that are corporate members, they have to make a living. You know, they are making a living for their family, for their staff, for their stakeholders, etc. But if we can do it in a sustainable way, and if we can do it in a way that has least impact on the environment, then we're all going to benefit from that because we all live in this county and we don't want to damage the very county that we live in. Well, so our idea really is, or, you know, people like myself, you know, I try and put those companies together and then hopefully we all win, you know, the one that's got the product or the idea or the innovation that makes things more resource efficient, etc., will help out another company who isn't there yet, but they'll do business and hopefully they'll both be profitable. And in the meantime, by making that introduction, Essex Wildlife Trust keeps those two companies on board as corporate members because they can see it as a proactive, dynamic sort of scheme, basically.
Yeah. Because being eco-friendly is very much the buzzword at the moment, kind of. You know, we're getting it, we're hearing it from all sides. You know, we're not just hearing it from wildlife organisations and people that just always have been quite countrified, if you like.
Yes.
You know, like people that always have really cared about animals and everything like that. We're even now being told by the government that we've got to start, you know, you can already see it, we're all recycling.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's kind of. And now here's a question for you. This will get you thinking, or maybe you've already thought about it, hopefully. But I was wondering, do you think that eventually we as businesses, as individuals or whatever, are going to start getting charged for not being environmentally friendly? So initially we might think, I'm not going to do all of this environmental stuff. It's you know, why have to change? I haven't got time to sort all of this out. I just, you know, I'll go to the same supplier, you know, even if it isn't very environmentally friendly. You know, I've really, you know, I need to drive my business forwards. I haven't got time for all of this. But in a way they could just be dragging their heels because eventually perhaps, you know, we're going to be inspected as businesses on how environmentally friendly we are. Perhaps there are certain places that already are inspected. I can imagine big establishments already probably are inspected. But, you know, and if you're not keeping your energy below a certain threshold, well, I'm sorry, we're going to fine you.
Well, to be honest, I mean, I'm not an expert in the actual.
You're allowed to give a prediction. Don't worry, Grant. You won't get in any trouble. Just, as long as you say, in my opinion.
Well, I would say. I mean, the thing that you said, Gabby, is that a lot of businesses probably don't realise, but. There are potentially a lot of areas where you can get fined, and you can find yourself falling foul of that side of things already. There's various directives coming out of Europe on carbon emissions and things like that, and from our own government. I don't pretend to be an expert in those fields, but when corporate members are talking to me about this, I often refer them to the various statutory bodies that can help them out. You know, there are plenty of places out there that can help you, but I think that would have, what you've actually said would have happened a bit sooner if the banking crisis hadn't come along in 2008.
Oh right.
And
okay.
I think in 2008 we were moving ahead very quickly on a quite a strong sort of climate change, carbon footprint type agenda.
Yeah, we were. It was like the main news.
It was the main thrust of things. And to be honest, a lot of the corporate members, a lot of the corporate members that joined, particularly in 2006 and 2007 before the banking crisis, joined us because they were looking at those very things that we've just discussed.
Those very factors.
Then, of course, the banking crisis came along in 2008 and the whole economy shifted back to just cost.
Yeah.
You know, cost
back
became
to
a
the
key...
The last recession.
Yeah, cost became a key factor to the reason why people would do business with each other.
Yeah, it was kind of like, oh, well, never mind about the environment. We'll worry about that later.
Yeah.
We need to deal, you know, money, you know, yeah. We need to deal with the money first.
Yeah. I mean, you had to tender for business to be competitive as opposed to have all your environmental credentials, etc.
Yeah.
And we're still seeing a little bit of that now because the banking crisis isn't over and it's still a competitive market out there. But I think that's put the brakes on any kind of big stick approach in terms of your environmental credentials. It's not saying that it's not going to happen down the line. It depends on the current government and things like that. But the main priority at the moment is to kickstart the economy. And I don't think you can start fining people for environmental issues whilst you're trying to kickstart the economy. But as I say, what we try and do is provide information to people. And also, you know, if you become more resource efficient, you're actually saving cost to your business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm kind of being mindful of the mindset of other people. You know, I do know a lot of people out there, you know, and even people that don't own homes, and they kind of, you know, they're still not becoming any more kinder to our wildlife.
You can't win all the battles, so to speak. I mean, not everybody's going to be that interested in wildlife, and I have to say, yeah, there are a few business meetings where I don't necessarily mention Essex Wildlife Trust from a wildlife conservation point of view. I get them on board for the business-to-business opportunities.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, I've built these relationships up now over 5-6 years, etc., and the Trust has had some of these relationships for 20 years. Then the wildlife interest starts to happen over time because we provide them, you know, our corporate members get information 3 times a year. They get invited to both corporate networking events and wildlife events. And obviously, you know, you hope that they realise they can bring their kids along, they can bring their other staff members, they can have a staff event. We've had a lot of volunteer days done by companies in Essex over the last few years.
Yeah.
Some where we charge if they want a specific team building type day.
Yeah,
and
if
others,
they want something out of you, basically.
Yeah, and others where we've got a project that we need some help with and some of the very good companies in Essex have provided people to help us, you know. So
that's really nice.
All sorts of things,
some volunteer opportunities
as
well.
Yep, there's plenty of volunteer opportunities. We've got over 2,000 volunteers across the county of Essex, and without those volunteers, Essex Wildlife Trust would struggle to function on a day-to-day basis.
Now, while we're on the subject of volunteers, because there will be people listening that aren't interested in business at all, perhaps they're retired or perhaps they're just not involved in work at the moment, bringing up children, or perhaps they're one of those lucky people that don't have to work at all. But you know, the other half goes out all day and earns a living, or maybe they've won the lottery. Yeah, they could be listening. You never know, Grant. I was going to ask, do you know the contact details for how people can volunteer?
Yes. The lady you need to speak to is a lady called Maureen Stewart, and she can be reached on our main switchboard number, which is 01621.
Hang on, will it be on here? I don't know if this one helps you at all. This is Abbott's Farm number.
Yes. Sorry,
yes?
The main Abbott's Farm number.
Oh,
yeah, which is
01621 862 990. Now, back onto the business side of things, though, Grant. If someone, how do you base the, you don't have to give the monthly membership fee, it's up to you if you want to or not, but how do you base that? Is it just the same for every type of business, or do you base it on the size of the business?
It's a combination of two, actually. I mean, what we have done is that there are some very big businesses in Essex who have what we call a largish corporate social responsibility budget, and they put aside quite a bit of money to support not just Essex Wildlife Trust but other charities across Essex, and they tend to join at the platinum level.
Oh, okay. Which so you is, have levels.
Yeah, which is £900 plus VAT per annum.
Oh, per year.
Per year.
I was going to say per month. Cool. Do you want to take me out for dinner?
Per annum, and then we've got the level below that is gold membership, which is £450 per annum, and again that tends to be larger, more established businesses in Essex, but also there are, as I say, there are different benefits within each of those levels. So some of our smaller businesses sometimes join at platinum or gold,
yeah,
because for them it's an integral part of their business and they can see the value of being at that level for the specific benefit that they are after. The next level below that is silver membership, which is £200 plus VAT per annum. That tends to be, the main body of that is SMEs, small medium enterprises across Essex, a lot of family run businesses, you know, a lot of businesses who want to support us, but that £200 doesn't break the bank, and they can pay that year in, year out, and have that relationship, and it works very well. The level below that is bronze membership, which is £100 plus VAT per annum. That tends to be one-man bands, tends to be individuals who have their own business, and it's just them, new startup businesses, or people that are just passionate about wildlife, but rather than be an ordinary member of Essex Wildlife Trust, because we've got...
They want to pay a bit more.
They want to, yes, do it through the business and have their business, because the... business benefits, we also give all the benefits that an ordinary member would get to the business as well. So they get all the information about wildlife. So sometimes we get...
Oh, okay. Sometimes you just get people that aren't involved in business, but they're joining the corporate scheme because they want both sides
of things. Or we get some people that have been ordinary members, but they run a business and they've realised that actually, yeah, by upgrading, so to speak, to corporate membership, they can get the wildlife and the business benefits.
That's fantastic. You're meeting the consumer as well. Then, if you're joining, the, you know, if you're a big business, you could potentially be meeting the consumer, someone that's not really that businessy, but yeah, they might be buying your products.
Absolutely.
So that's really, really important. Well, I suppose you better just leave your contact details. I know that I said, I always do this to my guests. I say, oh, I'm going to stop for some music in between. But I think, you know, when there's lots to talk about, I'd rather talk, to be honest.
Yes, yeah, it's good to talk.
So I hope I didn't challenge you too much. So tell all of the listeners out there, if they want to get in touch with you, Grant, how can they go about doing that?
Well, the best way of getting in touch with me is my mobile number, which I don't mind handing out because it's my main contact. It's 07887 763678, or you can email me on ewt@gmaton.com, that's MATON.com, or I'm on Twitter, which is Essex Ecoman, or you can get me on LinkedIn, or not Facebook, I don't tend to use Facebook
Essex
for wildlife.
Ecoman,
Essex Ecoman.
Do you know what, yep, I thought it said? I thought it said Essex Conman, and I still got in touch with them and said, hey, do you want to come on Phoenix FM? Even though it said Essex Conman, but it's not. It's Essex
Ecoman.
Ecoman. Oh, okay. Am I the first one or not?
No. Somebody else has said that, actually.
Oh, brilliant. Well, have a brilliant weekend, Grant. Hope you managed to take a walk in
thank
the
you very much. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about the corporate scheme.
Yes, thank you for coming in. I hope you or someone else from your establishment will be willing to come into Phoenix again in the future.
Absolutely, yeah, I'm more than happy to come along, or yeah, I can put you in touch with all the people, you know, our conservation team, our people and wildlife team. There's lots of areas where we get involved with schools and community groups and things like that. So it'd be great for us to come along and talk about those areas as well.
Lovely. Well, I hope you listeners appreciate that very much indeed.
FM Travel News with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood.
There's narrow lanes and a speed restriction of 50 miles per hour on the M25 in both directions between junction 29 and 30, and major road works on the A130 Sadler's Farm roundabout in South Benfleet at the A13 junction. Just be aware that these road works might cause some hold-ups in the rush hour. Now, Ongar Road in Brentwood is busy but moving southbound at the A1023 High Street junction. And if you're heading towards the south end, there's one lane closed on the A127 South End Arterial Road eastbound in South End on Sea between the Bell House Road junction and the Kelt Elms corner because of tree cutting. If you've got news of the queues, here's what to do.
If you have news of the queues, 01277 849931. Phoenix FM Travel with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood, creating style with a smile. Book your appointment on 01277 222864.
Are we finished yet?
Just another 10 shops to go.
What?
There's nothing better than spending time at the Baytree Centre. So shopping over 25 stores all within the Baytree Centre and a chance to grab a coffee. You can shop till you drop. The Baytree Centre is open 7 days a week, situated just off the high street with ample parking nearby in a multi-storey car park and a wide range of shops. The centre will truly enhance your shopping experience. Please contact individual stores for their opening times.
Phoenix FM Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, tyre and wheel alignment specialists.
On Friday the 20th of January to Sunday the 22nd, the Brentwood Music Weekend is happening at the Brentwood Theatre. It's three nights of breathtaking music featuring blues, flamenco and Latin jazz. It's £10 to go along per evening, or they're doing a deal of £15 for two tickets. You can call 01621 890153 or visit their website, allthews.essex-live.co.uk, for more details.
Phoenix FM Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, Prospect Way, Hutton. Your specialists for tyre and wheel alignment. Telephone Brentwood 210 414.
See the
radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Just one-on-one, that's the way we do it, baby. Just one-on-one, that's the way we do it. Just one-on-one, that's the way we do it, baby. Just one-on-one, that's the way we do it.
Across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM. News.
From the Sky News Centre at 4, the Prime Minister has telephoned the family of the Indian student murdered in Salford on Boxing.